Welcome to Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, with our host, Sarah Sisson.
I'm Sarah Sisson, host of Stout for Christ, and we're glad you're listening to our radio show today. Stout for Christ is a ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church located at 3329 Broad Street in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We invite you to become a member of our Stout Church family. We offer two worship services each Sunday, a contemporary worship service at 8:45, and a traditional worship just following this broadcast at 10:45. If you can't join us in person, our services are broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. Stout for Christ is a ministry meant to help us navigate life and learn more about God's love for all people. Today our topic is calming the storm, and here to help us learn more about the subject is Pastor Helen Oates. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. And you know, through these Sundays, we've been talking about following the footsteps of Jesus. And so Jesus, when, you know, after his baptism and then those many days in the wilderness being tempted, we find that Jesus then leaves and goes toward Nazareth. He goes back home, but he doesn't get a very good reception there. In fact, they are ready to push him over the cliff, kind of. And so after leaving Nazareth, which is at the northern part, he goes on to Capernaum. Capernaum is a little, I guess it's more than a fishing village, but it sits at the northern peak of the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus came to love the sea, came to be able to find ways in which he could preach and teach. You know, the sea, which we learned in our study together, you know, 8 miles wide, 14 miles long from the northern to the southern part. So, you know, the sea was surrounded by land, but it provided not only livelihood for the towns and villages around, but it was a place in which Jesus could carry out his ministry. He lived in Capernaum for 3 years, and you know, from a boat, he would have the boat kind of anchored, so he would stand or sit in the boat and teach the people who would be on the shore. It would be like an amphitheater that he would form with just the lake, or he'd be out on the mountain, the ridges, and have a place in which to sit and talk to people as they gathered around. So it was around this Sea of Galilee that Jesus did his ministry of teaching and healing and encouraging everyone. In fact, you know, 7 of the 12 disciples come from that region. You know, he first calls the fishermen and basically says to them, follow me, and they drop what they're doing and follow Jesus for those 3 years. I remember the story of Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus also called tax collectors, and one of those was Levi, or called Matthew, and it was a time in which Matthew arranged a dinner party for Jesus to be at. To be able to be at a meal with other tax collectors. But it was also there in Jericho when Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, who was also a tax collector, and said to him, and he was this, we would make the motion between our thumb and our forefinger. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Climbed up in the sycamore tree, for Jesus he wanted to see. And And we know that Jesus called him down out of the tree so that he could go to his house. And that's what also, you know, we talked about the way in which Jesus would get himself in trouble with the religious folks, because he chose to eat with sinners. Tax collectors were considered sinners. So that also formed one of those divisions between Jesus and the Pharisees. But, you know, to be able to think about this Sea of Galilee, and when you travel to Israel, or if you ever get to travel, even looking at a map, you see this tiny little, from Google, it looks like a harp, but you see this tiny little bit of water, and think about all the ways in which Jesus helped to heal and bring people together. The Sea of Galilee was a place upon which, you know, the water, there would be storms that would come quickly out of the northern mountains and sweep down on the Sea of Galilee and cause, you know, the wind would cause the waves to be rough, and it would be very frightening to fishermen, even though they're used to, you know, used to that kind of labor and working through the things that would happen on the sea. You know, it took Jesus, when they would leave Capernaum, it would take them 2 hours to get to the other side. And on the other side of the sea were the Gentiles. So on one side, Capernaum, on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, it was Jewish, a Jewish population. But on the eastern side, they were Gentiles. And so Jesus made sure, and we see in Scripture how often it says, you know, they traveled to the other side, to the other side of the sea. So the way in which Jesus used the Sea of Galilee to enhance his ministry, and, you know, we in Scripture, there are a number of stories that talk about the way in which, you know, a quick wind and storm would brew up, the rain would be pelting, the waves would be coming up over the side of the boat, and Jesus would be asleep in the boat. And the disciples would be terrified, and they would finally wake Jesus up and say something, yeah, you want us to drown? Do something. And Jesus would speak a word of calm, asking the winds to be quiet and the waves to be silent. So it was the disciples being able to recognize that Jesus was God, and that, you know, the one who is able to calm the wind and the waves, beginning of creation, Jesus, you know, God is creating the world, and at the time when Moses faced the burning bush, he asked, well, who do I say that you are? And God said, I am. Just tell them, I am. And so throughout the Gospels, we hear Jesus referring to himself as I am. One night when the disciples had been fishing, they had taken Jesus to the other side in order to pray and rest. And Jesus found them, or could see that they were fighting a storm out on the sea, and walked toward them. And, you know, they saw this figure coming towards them and yelled out kind of, "Who are you?" You know, it was dark. They couldn't see, 3 o'clock in the morning. And Jesus said, you know, "Don't be afraid. It is I. It is I." And, you know, to hear the way in which Jesus identified himself, you know, "If you've seen the Father, or if you've seen me," he says, "you've also seen the Father," that the two are one. So, you know, all of this happening around the Sea of Galilee. And we know the storms that get talked about on the Sea of Galilee are really a metaphor for the kind of storms that we face. And Sarah, have you faced a storm?
I think many of us have. Some can be small, you know, such as, you know, failing a class or maybe just a fender bender or something like that, trying to come up with money for a bill. Some are more recent, like in Upshur and Weston counties, or even up in St. Mary's with the tornadoes and flooding. So I think some are a little bit more literal than others.
But. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, the storms, whether there are literal storms around us, but what we hear through the storm is that we're not alone. God is with us. And in that, we can find strength to make it day by day through the storm. And, you know, our storm might be a loss of a job. Our storm might be what, you know, the hurtful things that happen in the midst of a family. Our storm, as you said, Sarah, can be so many different kinds of things. But, you know, it's when we feel uneasy, when we feel as though we don't know where to go. One of the folks from the church brought in a prayer that was on a plaque, and she said she was going to place it in the church so that people can read it as they're coming into worship. But, you know, it's the like, "I don't know where to go. I don't know what's next. I don't know." But and in that prayer, there were so many of those, "I don't know. I don't know where my help will come." You know, "I don't know." And yet, at the end of the prayer is the affirmation, "We might not know, but we do know the one who knows." And we can take our assurance in that very hope that gives us hope. You know, so when we hear the stories of Jesus around the Sea of Galilee, and when we're in the midst of our own storms, you know, I go back and reflect upon slavery, how slavery was in America, and reflect upon the way in which blacks were treated and oppressed. And, you know, out of the black spirituals, we have some wonderful songs. And one of them for me is "Through It All." You know, "Through It All." Through it all, they knew certainly what a storm felt like, but through it all, able to hold on to faith and to be able to strengthen faith in the midst of the storm, "Through it all, I trust in Jesus." And we must say that Jesus makes a difference. One of the quotes that I saw in Adam Hamilton's book, The Way, he wrote, "The worst thing is never the last thing." You know, that there's always other troubles that come down, but the worst thing is never the last thing. That we can see that Joy Comes in the Morning. That was one of Natalie Sleeth's songs, that we may be, you know, caught up in the storm. God's with us through the storm, but in the morning, there's a new day. In the morning, there is hope. And that is what we hold on to as we're going through those storms.
What does it mean to trust Jesus when the outcome's uncertain? I think we, as humans, like a definitive answer, or, you know, often want to know and kind of see into the future, but we don't get that option.
We don't. And it is, to trust Jesus is a matter of faith, you know, because we can't see it. We're not living in the mix of it at that moment. When my brother was shot and killed, it was as though, you know, for about 10 years, I lived in a shadow of, okay, how do I pray to God? How do I keep living a faithful Christian life? When I heard so clearly that night, God say, in terms of bringing to me the scripture, you know, ask and it shall be given to you. I mean, it was so clear. Ask. And of course, I asked for my brother's life, but he died anyway. So, how do we make sense out of all of that? And the real issue is, we don't make sense. We can't make 2 = 2. We can't. It's not a mathematical equation. The only way that we can is by saying, by faith. And the way that we are able to keep and hold on to faith isn't necessarily by our own faith, but it is by the community that gathers around us, by those who come and say, Helen, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you every day. I pray for you as pastor of our church. You know, just to know that there's a community around who are holding all of us. You know, we all have those people who will pray for us. And so it is through prayer that we stay connected to God. And in staying connected, our faith grows. And so, yeah, your question about how do we make it through those storms? And what does it mean to say, you know, that we have faith? Faith is, you know, it starts out for us as a tiny little mustard seed. And if you've ever looked at a mustard seed, it is very, very small. And that's how faith begins for us. It begins small. But then as we experience the Christian life, as we experience, you know, making it through it all, that little seed begins to grow, and it becomes that which we can trust. You know, becomes that which we can trust. And we know if we stick a mustard seed in our shoe, that we're going to feel it, even though it is tiny, tiny, tiny. We're going to feel it on the bottom of our feet. And so we're going to feel our faith grow as we trust in Jesus. Simply trusting that we're not in these storms. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. That's what one of the hymns says. And that's what Jesus does.
Even though sometimes in the midst of whatever that storm is, it may seem like he's ignoring you or not giving you the answer. It may feel that he's being silent and just kind of watching you struggle your way through it. But he is there, and it may be 2 months, 3 months, 3 years before you even realize that he was there all along. But he is.
That's right. And like I said, it took me 10 years, you know, in order to struggle through and find how God was present in that situation with the death of my brother. But it is important for those prayers. And even when, you know, when we as individuals can't pray because the storm is blasting us, others can pray on our behalf. See, Jesus used those fishing boats that would take the disciples, you know, that they would fish from. And, you know, they'd be 27 feet long. They're not huge things, but would fit basically 12 or 13 people in one of those boats. And we all need to hope and need to see in our own lives that we're not in that boat by ourselves, that Jesus is there.
You've mentioned how important prayer is through the storm. So can you lead us in a prayer this morning?
Oh, certainly.
You know, for people that are going through a sprinkle and some are going through a hurricane. So
that's right. And Sarah, you said it well in terms of, you know, the storm may not be too windy and hard. It might be a sprinkle, but others are going through hurricanes. So let us pray. Mighty God, on the sea, you spoke to the wind and the waves and said, be silent. And so we just ask that in the storms that we are encountering in our own lives, in the personal hurts and disappointments and despair and sense of failure, Lord, that you will always be present with us, that you will be a hand that reaches to us to help us, pull us, that you will be, and it may come through other individuals, but you will be a voice of encouragement, of being able to say, I am with you. And so we come. We come then trusting that you are with us and that there isn't anything, oh God, there isn't anything that can separate us from you. No wind, no storm, nothing in all of the world can separate us. And so we hold fast to your promise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, that was a great discussion, and I know that there is someone listening today whose life is touched by your wise words of hope in Christ and love for us all. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah.
If you were blessed by this program today and want to know more about how you can become part of the Stout Memorial United Methodist family, tune in to Stout Memorial's Facebook Live worship broadcast just after this program at 10:45 a.m. Send an email to stoutmemorial@gmail.com or attend the worship service in person at 8:45 and 10:45 each Sunday morning. This has been Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church, Parkersburg, West Virginia.